This program is a production of the Reformed Forum, an organization devoted to producing and distributing Reformed theological content for a connected age. Online at reformedforum.org. This is Christ the Center, episode number 159. Today we speak with John Stark of the Gospel Coalition. Welcome to Christ the Center, Doctrine for Life, your weekly conversation of Reformed theology. My name is Camden Busey, and we have a great episode lined up for you today. Let me introduce to you today our panel. We have Jared Oliphant, who is the Director of Admissions at Westminster Theological Seminary in Glenside, Pennsylvania. How are you doing, Jared? It's great to have you.
Good. Thanks, Camden.
We also have our special guest today. We've got a small panel, but we're going to be focusing in on a great topic. We have calling all the way from, I don't know where. Where are you, John?
Right now I'm in Tucson, Arizona.
We have from Tucson, Arizona, we have John Stark, who is with the Gospel Coalition. He's an editor there, works on a bunch of the websites and some other resources. So we are very pleased to have John Stark on the program today to discuss the Gospel Coalition. Jared had this idea to discuss about this topic, and we are very excited to do so today. But before we do that, we have a few bits of news that we need to mention. Jared?
Sure. Just the first thing that I'll point out, like we normally do, because these are coming up more and more now, there is a full confidence conference on the Doctrine of Scripture that we've done in all kinds of other locations like Wheaton and Tampa, Denver. And this upcoming one is in the Fort Worth area, Keller specifically, I think, Grace Community Presbyterian Church. And that's the weekend of February 18th. And it's that Friday evening, Saturday morning. And Tim Whitmer is going to be one of the speakers. And my dad is going to be one of the speakers, Dr. Scott Oliphant. And we'll also have Dr. David Garner speak. So look for that information. It's just wts.edu/fullconfidence, and it's on Why We Can Trust the Bible. So if you're in the area, definitely try to attend.
Now, how many of those are available online already? Are all the previous ones or most of the previous ones available on the website?
The audio, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of the audio. That's a really good question. If you go on iTunes U, there's a special Full Confidence section that has like a talk from Dr. Beal on inerrancy that I thought was just amazing. There's a couple, I think, from the Amarillo one, and I think a couple from Tampa. So we'll start putting those up more.
Great, great. Well, that's good to hear. As well as I need to mention, the Westminster Seminary California conference is going on right now. When the time that this episode airs, it will already be over, but it will be available on the website. And it's going to be on Christianity and liberalism. And so there's going to be a bunch of resources available and people speaking about Machen and related topics. So you can visit the Westminster Seminary California website at wscal.edu. Now, as we continue on and actually begin today's discussion, we are going to be speaking about the Gospel Coalition. But before we get into the details of the organization, I suppose we ought to mention their conference. Maybe
right.
I'll let John introduce the National Conference for the Gospel Coalition and maybe a brief list of some of the speakers. John?
Yeah, there are a lot of speakers. April 12th through the 14th in Chicago, Illinois, the Gospel Coalition will be putting on their national conference. And the title of the conference is They Testify About Me, Preaching Jesus and the Gospel from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, we feel, and I know it is just a really important issue for pastors who not only want to teach New Testament, but be faithful shepherds and preach the Old Testament and preach Christ and Him crucified. So it's going to be a great conference. The speakers are many. We have over 50 speakers. So if we just talk about plenary speakers, Moeller, Keller, and Alistair Begg are all giving a talk. There's a panel discussion on sort of the nitty-gritty aspects of preaching Christ in the Old Testament. So Keller, Duncan, Crawford Luritz, Don Carson, Brian Chappell, I think are all doing a panel discussion. James McDonald and Matt Chandler are other speakers on the plenary. And what are these? These are just meant to give examples of what does good Old Testament preaching look like? Mm-hmm. And then the panel discussion is sort of what are challenges, what are issues, what are, you know, helpful things we can do. Mm. And yeah. then we can, you know, there's tons of workshops. So, and you can see all this on our conference page at thegospelcoalition.org. Mm-hmm. But just to give you a little taste of it, Tabidi Anabule has given a little workshop on the gospel for Muslims. Many guys like Moeller and Driscoll and others are doing sort of a panel discussion on training up-and-coming pastors, inner-city church planning, adoption, counseling. David Powelson's given a talk. Kevin DeYoung is given a talk on what is the mission of the church. It looks to be real helpful. So, I mean, the list can go on.
There's so many speakers and mm-hmm. so many different topics being addressed. And I'm sure many of our listeners are very familiar with many of the people you've already listed. But if you're not, you can visit, as John has already mentioned, thegospelcoalition.org, which is the primary website of the Gospel Coalition organization, of which John works and of which we will be speaking about today. And they do all sorts of things. So there's a ton of resources available there, information about member churches and just a lot of articles, videos, and various pieces of Reformed and evangelical materials that are available on the website, thegospelcoalition.org. And there they also have a bunch of blogs from a number of the primary, a number of the speakers that are going to be at this conference, and a number of names that you're going to be very familiar with if you're at all online and at all agree with the doctrines of grace.
Yeah. And let me also just remind us, Westminster is going to be there too, exhibiting and just talking to people. And I'm really excited about the topic, partially because it's a topic that's in Westminster's lineage, you know, as much as anything else. You know, when Clowney was talking about preaching Christ through all the scriptures back in the 60s, obviously this fits in well with it. And so I think that, you know, I'll be interested to hear how the talks go, you know, from a different perspective and kind of bring it into a current context. So looking forward to seeing the talks themselves and also just talking with people and seeing their exposure to the topic in general.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, John, could you just provide a brief overview for those of our listeners who don't or aren't aware of the Gospel Coalition, or maybe just heard of it in passing? Can you describe a little bit about what the organization exists for, what its purpose is, and what are some of the activities that you do?
Yeah. Well, I guess the face of it is a lot of the conferences. So this will be coming up on our third conference. So the last conference they did, they just went through 2 Timothy. Each speaker did an exposition of a particular text with a number of breakout sessions as well. And so we've had 3 total. So that's probably what people know of the Gospel Coalition mm-hmm. is the conferences. But we also have a website with a number of resources, as you've already mentioned, as sort of a community of bloggers. So Justin Taylor, Kevin DeYoung, and Tabitha Anabule and others have their blog there. And TGC has their own blog where we put out 1 to 2 or 3 articles a day that we hope are helpful. I guess what the main goal is to really help and equip local churches to make the gospel the main thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, everything we try to do is wrapped around that one vision. And does that help?
Oh, absolutely. And there is a need to do just that. A lot of churches exist for who knows what. Maybe they don't understand, or they maybe even will say that they exist to make the gospel the main thing, but mm-hmm. in practice don't always live up to that very desire. So having an organization such as the Gospel Coalition is an interesting way in which to promote that. Mm-hmm. And we've got several questions and things we want to discuss today, just exploring and examining the nature of the Gospel Coalition and its place in the broader and universal church. And that's what we're going to be doing. John, now you're a student at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, is that correct?
Yeah.
And how has your time at Southern, or your involvement and your education at Southern. How has that helped you in your work at the Gospel Coalition? And how did you end up getting started at TGC in the first place?
Well, I got started. I mean, it's interesting. It's probably only interesting to me, but interestingly, how I got on at the Gospel Coalition, just through a number of events, just having a couple conversations with the executive director, Ben Pace. And they had a vision of doing a few projects. One of them initially was a book review site, which is what I, part of my duties is to manage a book review site, which Jared contributes to.
When I have time, and I have to have issue a public apology for having a couple books on my desk right now that I need to write a review for. So hopefully that will be forthcoming.
Yeah, I'll let your conscience be pricked as much as it will.
So, definitely.
So yeah, just through a number of ways, just being able to help out. I was working at the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood at the time when I started, and making that transition, just helping with a few projects, and it just sort of grew into a editorial position. But at Southern, I guess what probably in many ways your guys' experience at Westminster, there's a big focus on biblical theology. Mm-hmm. And of course, biblical theology puts the Christ event or the gospel or the work and life of Christ at the center of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And so that's helpful. And so when we do things like this conference or we talk to pastors about writing for us and they want to do similar things, it's just energizing. And so it's seminary at Southern has done nothing but help me and they get me excited about the content at TGC.
Yeah. And you mentioned the content at TGC and there's so much. And since you're the editor, I wanted to ask you how you actually go about just day to day managing all of this material. Not only managing what you have, but actually asking or soliciting for other material and then collating it all together and putting it out in such a way that is very accessible and also very attractive. You have a very nice website. Mm-hmm. It's very usable. So how in the world do you handle all this when you have so many people involved as contributors and so many different potential people out there that might want to contribute?
Well, I mean, I guess the unique contribution that I give to the Gospel Coalition is that I'm unusually normal in my productivity, but I'm surrounded by guys who are unusually productive. So the editorial director, Colin Hansen, is on staff. Ben Pace is the executive director, so these guys are my bosses. Andy Naselli helps a lot with the Gospel Coalition. And these guys are just clear thinkers. They can write well. And they're surrounded by a community of pastors, authors, thinkers who care and are concerned with exactly the same thing the Gospel Coalition is concerned about. So while Colin Hansen and I work hard to get people to contribute and try to think on things that the church is facing and what might impact how we share the gospel and apply the gospel, it's not hard to find people who are excited about that. It's just finding the community of people around us who are excited about the same stuff, which there are a lot.
Yeah. Well, even logistically, you know, I have been watching a lot of the videos that are on the site, partially because, and this is, I should back up, part of my interest in just talking to you and talking about the site is primarily because I kept seeing it pop up on the radar within the last like couple years. You know, pastors in the area, pastors just all across the board would link to, oh, check out this blog from Justin Taylor. Check out this blog from Kevin DeYoung. Check out this video that features Mark Driscoll and this guy and that guy. And so, you know, just being on the general, if you want to call it Reformed radar, I kept on seeing the name pop up. And so I have checked out a number of the videos. And I guess I wanted just to ask you, logistically, how do you get guys whose time is so completely demanded by all these constituents. You know, when you put a guy like Mark Driscoll, Justin Taylor, and Francis Chan in one room, that's one location in America, you know, and it happens frequently, you know, like Keller and Carson get together, mm-hmm. And there's all these combinations of prominent church leaders. So, and I guess I'm asking because I know other people are thinking, how do you get these guys together, when their schedules are the way they are? Yeah. So just kind of curiosity, how does that
you're
work?
You're asking me to share the dark.
Yeah. Right. If this is,
well, we know what it's like here at Westminster.
Exactly.
So we're
yeah. We're on campus and it's tough to schedule things. So I can just imagine having a national constituency and, you know, how that works. So, you know, can you shed any light on what that looks like from a logistical standpoint?
Well, the secret to that, I guess, is, we have a council meeting once a year.
Oh.
So our council meeting is made up of 44 pastors, scholars who are think similar to us, and they want to center their ministry around the gospel, mm-hmm. and help other ministries center around the gospel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you get all those guys in one room and you're in the same room for 3-4 days, you can just sort of tap their shoulder and say, "Hey, can you get with this other person and talk on this particular issue?" And the wonderful thing about these guys is, you know, they're quick on their feet, so you can just sort of give them an issue and they can talk forever on it. But we try to keep it to around 10 minutes. So the secret behind that is we got them all in one spot for mm-hmm. a council meeting. So, so I guess that, and you know, we have a bank of videos, and we just occasionally release one or two.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's helpful. Well, and along those lines, just dealing with like the content of both the blogs, the videos, the articles, the book reviews, you know, when you say that the gospel is the focus, you know, I want to trumpet that like crazy. And then I think the natural question is what is the vetting process and how do you deal with nuances from tradition to tradition who may have, you know, slightly different takes on the gospel or other things to say about, you know, the nuances that exist in the church today?
Yeah. I mean, that's a hard question, and it's peculiar to each situation. So I'm just speaking in just wide generalities here, but, and I'm probably going to speak more for Colin Hansen because he's going to make a lot more of those decisions than I do. I think if we use, I mean, Moeller has this idea of how do you make things, or how do you see things that are more important and less important? And we try to focus things around first things. So, like, for example, Paul Tripp just wrote two articles for us on parenting.
Right, and, right.
The main emphasis he was getting at is, how does the gospel inform our parenting? You know, our parenting is not just trying to get our kids to obey, but it's really laboring so that someday they'll believe in the gospel. And there's lots of certain things that we can look at, parenting, family issues, politics. How do we, you know, there's lots of controversy around things like politics and two kingdoms theology, but, you know, how do you make the gospel center? And we're okay with different opinions on how that works out. So,
yeah.
I mean, Tim Keller and John Piper are probably going to look pretty different on things like politics and church ministry. Or I guess even a clearer example is Mark Dever and Tim Keller may look a little bit, or maybe they won't be so different, but maybe they'll nuance things. But, you know, we'll be happy to publish what both they say about politics. So, mm-hmm. It's how do you take an issue and center it around the gospel? How does the gospel inform it? And those sorts of things. And actually, when you do that, when you center around the gospel and you see how the gospel shapes any particular issue, it actually gets to be more pointed, even more helpful in many ways than just talking about the issue. So I think we have sort of a target here when we take any issue and we wrap it around the gospel or see how the gospel shapes it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, does that help a little bit?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I do too. I you know, along the same lines, I need to ask the perfunctory question, I believe, about the difference between the Gospel Coalition and a denomination. Yeah. When you're doing what you do and the organization cuts across so many different traditions or denominations or conventions for that matter, the SBC not being a denomination per se, but being a convention. How do you go about defining what the Gospel Coalition is? I guess asking how you define coalition, and how does that play a role with different views on ecclesiology and different church polities, particularly the Presbyterian one, because that's where we're coming from.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hard issue to tackle. Things like, because so many people have different views on what denomination means, mm-hmm. what coalescing means, and cooperation means. So, you know, cooperation in the Southern Baptist world is going to look a little bit different than it will in the OPC world. You know?
True.
So that's a difficult question. But let me just maybe answer it this way. I think we see the Gospel Coalition as a network. So it's less of a, I hope it's less of a come and see how to do it, more than let's get together and equip each other and see what's working in Iowa mm-hmm. and other small places like Nebraska. How's the gospel working out in those areas? So we have a program called Ordinary Pastors, mm-hmm. where these guys probably want headline conferences. They don't have any interest in writing books or writing for Christianity Today, but they're faithful in preaching the gospel, in discipling members, so that when they respond to others, or respond to God, they do it in a godly fashion because they love God and they love the gospel because of a lot of what their pastors are doing. So the main emphasis on ours is really to equip pastors on becoming gospel-centered, being for the local church, providing a way in which local churches can network so local pastors can get together and pray for one another. Encourage one another, things like that. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I mean, all of those things are good things. It can be a little confusing for people to come and try to parse these issues out, but yeah, it's very helpful the way you've described that. On a related issue, one thing that we have that the OPC and the PCA for now are members of is called NAPARC, which is the North American Reformed and Presbyterian Council.
Right.
So in that terms, that's another word, a council. But what they do is they come together on the basis of shared confessional standards for the most part. And the URC is involved as well. There are a bunch of others, RPCNA, I believe. I don't mean to forget any of the Presbyterian or Reformed groups that are out there. There are many. And they convene every year or so to discuss many of those same issues. But it's interesting because they do so and are typically Presbyterian in church government,
right.
But yet they gather together and do a similar thing, but are not often producing resources, at least in the same vein and the same multimedia and the same quantity as the Gospel Coalition.
I really do hope. I mean, there is a huge, significant value to things like that because there are issues that a presbytery is facing that, you know, a local network of Baptist churches aren't facing simply because of polity issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thankful for those networks that help particular pastors answer questions that uniquely they only have. Mm. So we don't want to replace that. I don't think that's a desire at all, is to replace denominations or denominational work. But there are, in some sense, general questions that Presbyterian and Baptist pastors have that
absolutely
share. So our labor is to help make connections and networks so those questions can be answered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a good resource for that on the site is you have a map that just has points where different churches who are involved in the coalition, you can just see if you click on, say, Pennsylvania, you can see all the churches in Pennsylvania who are a part of the coalition. And, you know, Westminster is, you know, clearly we have Presbyterian roots, and that's great. But we've also had a lot of conferences, these full conference conferences, at you know, a Baptist church, yeah, a broadly evangelical non-denominational church, and
there are many students here too from a variety of places as well.
Yeah, and so as I look at that map, you know, I see it as just a helpful resource for a pastor to go, who is around me, who, you know, maybe the first step to finding like-minded pastors who may not necessarily be in the same presbytery, in the same Baptist circles. You know, there's a lot of Sovereign Grace churches in the area. So I guess you can call it like a good shortcut in terms of, you know, how resources go. So I think it's the way you use it and how you see it rather than, you know, something else.
I'd agree with you there. You know, this always brings up questions about standards. I mean, like confessional standards or doctrinal standards and those sorts of things. And the question of where you draw the line. A lot of people will question the OPC and the PCA, for instance. Why do they remain separate? Well, the OPC has voted itself out of existence before to merge with the PCA, but they wouldn't have us. So, but there are many who would not want to go into the PCA because of certain views on missions and how the mission field is handled and all sorts of things. So that's one example of drawing the line at a certain place. I guess for you, John, I have a question in terms of, yes, we want the gospel to be the main thing and the gospel to be central, and that's absolutely critical, the most critical thing in terms of Christianity and the church. How do we go about defining what the gospel is, and at what point do we say something is beyond the pale of the circle or beyond outside the circle of the gospel coalition? Because we're, you know, I guess we're kind of drawing increasingly broader or narrower circles. You mentioned Al Mohler and his important things and then secondary things. And the distinction between the PCA and the OPC is a much tighter, narrower circle. At what point do we get to a circle that's too large?
Well, I mean, as far as cooperating with one another,
I guess so. I mean, we talk about, let's say, maybe a better question, because I'm asking too broad of a question. Maybe a better question would be, what is the process for a church that comes to the Gospel Coalition and says, I would like to be a member church? How do some of those questions get answered? Or what are the standards by which they must subscribe in order to be a member of the coalition?
Well, I mean, if you go to the church, the TGC network.
Right, you've published information on the website.
Yeah, you can go there, and a lot of those questions can be asked. But I guess a lot of those questions on how to get involved can be answered. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you want to talk more like you know, what lines do we draw, or where do we come to a place where we say we can't cooperate anymore with another church? And maybe I just want to be careful and just say, maybe this is probably coming from me, and I'll probably say a lot of things that a lot of the coalition council members would say, I think. But
for the record, I should also mention, if you visit the website at gospelcoalition.org/about. Much of this material is here. So I'm asking the question for the sake of discussion, knowing that many of the answers are available. And
sure. And
I have read through these things before too. But I mean, where do we draw the line? At what point, you know, the first point here is the triune God. We believe in one God eternally existing in three equally divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, etc. Maybe it's a question that people aren't asking, but why is that a requirement? If they think the gospel's the main thing, what about the triune God? Are these just arbitrary, or how do we go about determining what the important things are, I guess?
Yeah, well, if we're moving beyond sort of what does it look like to be a part of the Gospel Coalition, and just maybe what does it look like for important background issues of cooperating, or I would say absolutely, the Trinity is strictly connected to the gospel. Without an understanding of the Trinity, we don't have the gospel.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you're just getting genuinely Christian with belief in the Trinity, but you can also believe in the Trinity and not hold to a very clear understanding of the gospel. So, our Catholic brothers and sisters believe in a wonderful understanding of Orthodox Trinitarianism. But when that moves towards articulating a view of the gospel, well, I mean, just being Protestant, I'm going to probably not cooperate with them because I think they get the gospel wrong in many ways. So, I mean, there are ways in which that works out in cooperation. If you're going to work in a presbytery, obviously, you're not going to work with me because I'm a Baptist. But obviously, if we're going to work towards equipping each other and praying for each other in your own small group ministries, or your discipleship efforts, or your expository preaching, I think in a lot of ways, you and I can cooperate and encourage one another and share resources and maybe even meet up on a regular occasion.
I think that's necessary in an imperative of just living in the body of Christ. It's not an option.
Absolutely.
Now, what that cooperation or meeting together or looks like is a difficult question.
Yeah.
Some people have stressed the unity that we find in the sacraments, or some people don't like that term, but the Lord's Supper and the sacrament of baptism, we find a unity in all different confessional stripes of Christianity, but also especially between Presbyterians or OPC and PCA types and Reformed or I should say Calvinistic Baptists, there's way more overlap than there is difference. I think we do need to draw lines in terms of denominational affiliations and how we go about in our church government and all, but those differences shouldn't be stressed. I don't think there's much more that we share in common than there is that is different.
Yeah, and John, I know we're kind of pushing you beyond what you anticipated in terms of questions, but one question I had is, as you see just the trend that's probably overhyped a lot when we talk about these things, but with the young, restless, and reformed, however you want to define that and however you want to see that, what do you see both in talking to the constituency and the church leaders that you interact with, like a Moeller and, all the way from like a Palace into a TBT and Dever and all those guys. And also, what are you seeing with just the users of the site as well, with their comments, what they're interested in, things like that? Do you see any marked trends going forward, as people interact and they deal with different theological topics and issues and those things?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a huge, huge issue, and I'm not an expert, so I won't answer any questions on this issue, but a huge issue is the cultural engagement. So, you and I will, I think, agree on a ton of things, even ecclesiology, the three of us will, in many ways, though I'm still Baptist, and a lot of doctrinal issues we'll agree on, but in some ways, probably us three at some level will disagree how to engage culturally. How do we bring our Christianity to bear on politics, on the arts, and that sort of thing?
This
now, I'm not saying much about what you guys actually view, but it probably at some level we're all Reformed, or at least I call myself Reformed, and we agree on a lot of levels that would seem to be very fundamental, but once we get to areas of cultural engagement, they differ. So that turns into be a pretty heated argument. And a lot of people, I think, want clarity. So Van Drunen's book, Living in God's Two Kingdoms, I think was a really helpful book on clarifying a lot of issues. Now, I didn't personally agree with every conclusion he made. I agreed with a lot of them, and I loved his theological framework. They put everything in, of course. But a lot of those, a lot of our, I think, readers want those questions answered, mm-hmm. or at least the categories on how to start answering those questions.
Yeah.
So that's a huge concern, a huge issue that, you know, that probably Reformed types are going to be all over the map on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even within the denominations, Reformed denominations, there are huge differences on how to answer those questions. We were able to do a little bit of a Christ and Culture series earlier last year, and these people subscribe to the same standards, but are coming up with vastly different answers to various questions. So it just goes to show there are a lot of things in which there are differences, and just deciding where and when to come together and in what form is a very difficult question.
Yeah, and I'd love to see it be a prompt for just the church at large have a surge of eschatological teaching and awareness, I guess you can say, because, I mean, if I can just, you know, the transformational eschatology stuff that goes on in some circles, it just, sometimes it just smacks as just not as thorough as I'd want it to be. And so it may be that whole, you know, that this topic that's brewing gives rise to a more thorough investigation of eschatology, not in like the amill, premill, even though that's part of it, but just in, you know, where is history going and how do we think about biblical theology as a whole, which obviously relates to a lot of what you guys are going to be doing at the conference this April. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are probably able to be a little bit more free in your comments than I am on this.
that's a good point.
I will say someone like Van Drunen's book, and from what I'm hearing, Greg Gilbert and Kevin DeYoung's book that's coming out soon on the mission of the church, I think these guys are trying to be more – I know Van Drunen is much more sophisticated theologically than most, transformational guys and some other folks. They're not as clear theologically on where they come from their conclusions. So I think a helpful contribution that people from the Gospel Coalition is trying to contribute is, okay, let's be thoughtful with first things, get a biblical framework, and then work out from there. And yeah, I mean, Van Drunen's been a big help with that. So,
yeah. Well, as we start to wrap up, what, you know, for addressing our listeners, your readers, your listeners, your viewers, how would you see, or how would you want people to use the site primarily? What are your goals and visions for the site just being a helpful resource?
Well, and I hope I've stressed this throughout the interview, I want it to be, and not just me, the Gospel Coalition, a landing page for encouragement for local churches. So, I mean, that's just the big push, is for local pastors, local lay leaders, thinking Christians to come, and they'll find two or three articles a day. They'll find resources. I mean, if you go to our resources bank, we'll have pretty much an MA level of free lecture series from Westminster, RTS, Covenant Theology Seminary. I mean, I think there's something like 1,800 courses available.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a tons of resources available. There's lots of thoughtful blogs. So, Justin Taylor, Kevin DeYoung, Tabidi,
Tullian.
Yeah. I'm going to forget them all. So, I'm already going to feel bad about that. So, but it's a place that I hope that pastors and lay people and thinking Christians can come and be equipped to think biblically, to make the gospel center. So the gospel informs our decisions and how we respond to one another, informs our preaching and our small group and our discipleship and evangelism and missions and that sorts of stuff. So that's the big hope. I mean, there's all kinds of small agendas that show up in different spots, but that's the big desire.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Well, John, I do want to thank you for joining us, and thank you so much for your work. GospelCoalition.org is a website that I frequent very often, and I know many of our listeners do as well. And there's always very informative and interesting materials available there. So thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of you guys, so it's an honor.
Well, we appreciate all your work, and thank you for taking the time. And we want to point everyone, of course, not only to thegospelcoalition.org, but to our website as well at reformforum.org. There you can find several resources that we have as well, mostly audio. But we're trying to get into the video world a little bit piece by piece. So we have been broadcasting this episode live, both in audio and video, and it will be available on the website in both forms at reformforum.org. I want to thank everybody for listening, and we hope you join us again next time on Christ the Center.